We are at the Utopial with Deborah Harkness. Hello.
Hello. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too. First question, the easy one. You feeling to be in France? We all know that you like to come here, but to be in Nantes, in the city of Jules Verne.
For me, I teach the Edict of Nantes every year, so it is strange to be in a town that I've only ever thought of in terms of a religious document from 1598. So it is nice to be. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. So I'm looking forward to walking around and exploring a little bit tomorrow. You can see they can't see the cathedral, but I can see the old part of town from here. So
back to the book.
It's the last book of the trilogy. Was it easy to finish this book?
It was easy to finish the book, but it was very difficult to start the third book. What I really hadn't thought about was how I needed to... It was really not just the continuation of the second book, but it was also the continuation of the first book. And so to get those stories sort of tied together and lifted off at the very beginning was harder than I thought it was going to be. I always knew how the story was going to end. So finishing it wasn't hard from that point of view, but actually starting this third book was very, very difficult indeed. And of course, when I was finished, I did feel, you know, a little emotional. It was hard emotionally because I wrote the last lines and then I just thought, it's over, you know, that it's done. So that was very emotional moment.
What would you be in your book?
Would I be a witch, a vampire, a demon, a human? I think I'm sadly very human, although I have demonic moments. I think I have sort of demonic periods of activity where I get a lot of work done, and I think most people would think, oh, she's, you know, a little off in the head, but yes, everybody always assumes that I must be a witch or I would want to be a witch. And I think being a witch or a vampire would be too hard, too difficult. Now I'm happier being a human.
And what would be your scent?
My scent. Oh, that's a good one. Probably, I spend an awful lot of time around horses, so I don't know. It may not be good. It may be barn scent or horse scent. I'm not a very flowery person, I think. Although I do love narcissus. Do you have narcissus here? The first, yeah, I do love those. So maybe narcissus and horse might be my scent.
I would love barn scent, but narcissus... Nope. Was it really important to put humoristic touches in the book? Because you have many sentences evoking today's things like computers or anything.
Yeah, I think for me, I always wanted the books to feel like it was a world that you could really be part of. That it was so real, you might imagine that actually the person living next to you in the apartment next to you might actually be a vampire or a demon. And I think oftentimes in fantasy and science fiction, some of the daily aspects of life aren't handled as much as they are in other types of fiction. And for me, that just makes it more believable to have those sorts of details in the story. So yeah, I liked all the daily parts of life as well as the supernatural aspects and the science aspects.
Was it fun to evoke the literary teachers who often became accountants?
Yes. You know, as a professor, one of the things my students always ask me is, you know, well, what am I going to do with a degree in history or English? And I always say, you know, sort of laugh and say, well, you can be an accountant. So my students always laugh when they get to that part because that's what I'm always telling them. You know, for me, education, a good education means you can do anything. And I think sometimes, you know, we can forget that I'm... I would say that, but I do think it's important not just to have specialized knowledge, but to have you know, a more general knowledge about literature and the arts and the sciences, and so that, you know, you are a well-rounded well-rounded person. So yes, I would love to have an accountant who is also a medieval English literature major. I think that would be wonderful.
It must be a vampire to know everything, you know.
Yes, they know. They would know way too much, those vampires, it must be said.
What about the theme of Utopia this year, which is intelligence or intelligences?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that is very important to me is this, and this is sort of a play on the words. Sometimes in culture today, it is not very fashionable to be intelligent, to be smart, to know things. I actually think in many ways it is seen as a negative thing if you know too much. So I, from the very beginning, I wanted both, you know, all of my characters really to be quite, but especially the two main characters, to be sophisticated and knowledgeable. It doesn't mean that they don't make mistakes and do stupid things, because even professors do stupid things all the time. But just that, you know, that libraries and books and reading and knowing things and having experiences and traveling were seen as positive things, which they are often, that's not what we see in film and television and in books. So yeah. And I think that in the case of the kind of knowledge that a vampire has, you know, their intelligence is based on centuries of experience as well as the things that are in books. And, you know, when we talk about intelligences, the historical experience, for me as a historian, is very important as well.
Do you think a movie is possible around your book?
Because on your Twitter, you send a link to different actor or actress who could be any kind of your characters.
So that was a fan-generated, yes. Yeah. Yeah, so it was the stories were optioned by Warner Brothers back in 2011. So back went after just the first book had come out, and they bought all three of the books, even though they were not written. And then they set about trying to make them into a movie. And after 18 months, it was clear it was going to be very, very difficult to get even the first book boiled down into a 2-hour film. So at this point, I own the rights again. And I do think it is possible to bring it to the screen, but I think it would be a real challenge. And so I have just begun, because when Warner Brothers stopped with the project, I was working on the third book. I didn't want to start thinking about the first book again in the movie. And so I just sort of said, you know, I don't want to talk about this until after I'm finished. And so it's only been in the past few months again that I'm talking to other people who are interested in film and television and other kinds of adaptations. So
maybe TV will be easier, as we can see, like Game of Thrones,
right,
of
right,
course.
Or right. And I think partly it's because there are so many characters in the story. And I think actually it's quite, if you think about movies, it's quite difficult for there to be as big a cast of characters. And I think something may be lost if you cut all of those characters out and just focus on Diana and Matthew. Because it's really not, and never was, a story just about Diana and Matthew. It was about their families and their world and making it into a traditional man-woman romance adventure, I think would lose a lot of what makes these books and this story different. So,
and would you be the writer? Would you try to be the writer?
I think try to be is the operative term. For reasons I don't completely understand, I think there is a kind of a distrust of writers, of authors of books, when their books are taken and made into films. Not even J.K. Rowling, you know, did her own screenplays. She was part of the production team, but she was not the writer. And so I think, and I'm very interested, I would love to know why, because obviously you've written the story that they now want to buy. So why would they not want you to play a role in rewriting that story, editing. I know these characters better than anyone can ever know them. No matter, I don't, no disrespect to anyone, but they came out of me. So I, somebody could say something like, you know, would Matthew ever eat blank? And I would just know. You know, I might have to think about it for a few, but because they've come from me, I have those answers. So it's a very strange thing to have it be, you know, thank you very much, we love your book, we think it's all fabulous, now we're going to take it away and make it unrecognizable and someone else is going to write it. Why? Why do they do this? You know, sometimes I fantasize about starting a movie production company that would be called By the Book, that would be nothing but adaptations of books to film, where we would actually involve the writer of the book in the project, you know. So it is a strange thing, and I think maybe they feel we would never be able to be critical, or we would want to keep everything, which I think is silly, because we've already cut out huge amounts of things just to make it a book. So why would we? I don't know. It's a mystery, real mystery to me why it's this way. So I would try, but I don't think I would succeed.
As the trilogy is over, do you feel like an alchemist?
Yes, I do, because there is something quite magical and quite alchemical about bringing creatures into the world and into life. And you know, even knowing, as I just said, you know, oh yes, I can imagine what Matthew would, if I was in the cinema and there were six movies, I would say, oh yes, Matthew would see that one. You know, to even know those things, how do I know that? Why do I know that? Where did these creatures come from? And I think partly it's alchemical too because of the readers themselves. It would be one thing if they were my imaginary friends, but now they've become the imaginary friends of lots of people I haven't even met. And that must be alchemy that allows you to do that.
Would you like to write more about those characters? I mean, a lot of writers do that. They do prequels, they do novella, short stories, or is it something like you would like to do, or do you want to work on something else to discover a new universe?
Well, I certainly have ideas for new books that have nothing to do with any of these characters. That said, I also know an awful lot more about these characters than is in these books, and so that is a very tempting thing, because readers will ask me, well, what happened to Isabeau at this moment? I know the answers to those questions, and I could. But, and this is very important. The readers often will say, "Well, we just want more. We just want another book." You don't actually want more. You want something that's good, and that there's a reason for it to exist. You don't just want endless more, because it would not be very satisfying. So I would have to feel like there was a real reason to tell a particular story, and not just, you know, sort of tell you everything. That would not be a good thing. Then you would all dread it. You would all actually say, "Ugh, here's another one. Here's another story. We're tired of these stories. We don't want to see any more of them." So I would have to really kind of have that moment of thinking, "Oh, I know. This is how I want to tell X or Y or Z story." And we'll see. We'll see if that happens. Right now, I just need to have a little rest, I think, from everything. But we'll see.
This year, you can choose one of the five vehicles that I will tell you, and you can pick one.
Okay.
And the five vehicles are the DeLorean, or Flash McQueen, or the Batmobile, the Scooby-Doo van, or Kid.
So I have to pick which one of these is my favorite one, and then there will be a question that's associated with that one. Is that, yes? Is that how this works? So, well, I think I would have to pick, I'd have to pick the Batmobile. Yeah. And why? Well, for one thing, it just looks like it would be a fun car to drive, the Batmobile. The DeLorean's doors always frighten me a little bit, the way they come up in the air. So, and the others are too colorful for me. But somehow that nice, sleek, black Batmobile. I mean, Matthew would think it was completely over the top and very cliched, but I think of all the cars, that would be the one that I would pick if I had my choice.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.